Silvergate Capital is going to be winding down and liquidating its bank, Silvergate Bank. And of course, this is the bank that was known as a crypto bank because it catered to the digital community.
The bank, you know, it's been through a lot of trials and tribulations since at the collapse of FTX, which is the crypto exchange whose deposits it's held. It's seen its depositors flee. It posted a $1 billion loss in the fourth quarter. Its shares have tanked. It's been under investigation by the Department of Justice. Now it's winding down. And effectively being shut, a big question that remains is who will bank the crypto industry? Silvergate was a sort of a one-trick pony in that regard.
Yeah.
Now that it's gone, who's left?
Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In today's episode, I want to provide you with an update on what's going on in the exciting world of cryptocurrency. As you've just seen, Silvergate Bank, which is one of the biggest players in the world of banking for cryptocurrency businesses, has announced that it's winding down its operations and liquidating the bank. And the problems experienced at Silvergate Bank started with the collapse of FTX in late 2022, which resulted in a run on the bank's assets. Silvergate saw a run of over 50% on all of its assets in the fourth quarter of 2022, and this resulted in a financial loss in the quarter of more than $1 billion. So in today's episode, I'll give you the full background on Silvergate Bank, how it positioned itself as the main bank for all of the cryptocurrency businesses, what problems it's experienced, and why it's gone into liquidation. I'll then go on to give you the answer to one of the big questions that's been hanging over the FTX collapse. Where is Nishad Singh? Nishad Singh, who's the last of the four main guys behind the FTX debacle, has now been arrested and charged and pleaded guilty to six different counts. So I'll give you an update on the situation with him. And following his arrest, Sam Bankman-Fried, the founder of FTX, has now been hit with a variety of new charges, including making unlawful political donations. And these new charges mean that if Sam Bankman-Fried is found guilty on all counts, he's facing up to 155 years in jail. We'll then have a look at what's going on with Binance, the largest cryptocurrency exchange in the world. And there's been a major run on Binance over the course of the last month or so. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. But before we get into all of that, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters. So if you don't have time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube, Super Thanks, and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. And as always, I'd like to say thank you so much to everyone that has supported the channel. And by way of my gratitude, I'd like to share this very short video of a puppy. Silvergate Bank was founded in 1988 in California as a traditional bank. However, in 2013, the chief executive, Alan Lane, invested in Bitcoin and decided to launch an initiative to start servicing cryptocurrency clients. The bank developed a strong niche providing corporate services to all of the cryptocurrency businesses and attracted in names such as Genesis, Gemini, Coinbase, and Kraken. And Silvergate's flagship product was called the Silvergate Exchange Network, which allowed all of its cryptocurrency clients to exchange cryptocurrency for US dollars round the clock on a 24/7 basis. So essentially what Silvergate was doing was acting as a real-world bridge between the cryptocurrency clients and the markets. When companies such as Coinbase signed up a new customer who gave them US dollars and wanted to buy Bitcoin, Coinbase would then place those US dollars on deposit with Silvergate so that it had that cash in reserve. And when the customers then decided that they wanted to cash in Bitcoin and take back their dollars, Coinbase would go back to Silvergate, ask for the dollars, and then pass those dollars on to the customers. So Silvergate has been working with the big corporates in the world of cryptocurrency, offering crypto deposits and also real-world US dollar deposits. And as the world of cryptocurrency got bigger and more exciting and attracted in more investment, Silvergate's value started to rise. And in 2019, Silvergate listed onto the New York Stock Exchange, selling its shares in an initial public offering at $12 each, which valued the business at around $230 million. Now, as the crypto markets went up and the price of Bitcoin went through the roof, so did the share price of Silvergate. And at one point, the shares were trading for $220 each, which valued the bank at around $4.2 billion. However, unfortunately, the events in the cryptocurrency markets over the last 12 months have had a detrimental impact on Silvergate's value and also its viability. Publication of Silvergate's results for the quarter ending December 2022 revealed that the company had made a net loss of $1 billion in the quarter compared to a profit of $18 million in the previous quarter. And this loss was due directly to a run on the company's assets. In the 3 months ending December 2022, customers withdrew over $15 billion from Silvergate accounts, which represented more than 50% of its total assets. Silvergate's interest-bearing deposits decreased by $6.9 billion, or 52%, to leave the bank with only $6.3 billion on deposit, and non-interest-bearing deposits fell by $8.2 billion to leave only $3.9 billion in the bank, representing a fall of 61%. And the reason that Silvergate posted such a monumental loss is that it had been putting all of the cash that had been given by all of its corporate customers into federal bonds. So rather than just holding the cash, Silvergate wanted to make a return on that capital. But the problem that Silvergate has encountered is that over the last 12 months, we have seen a material increase in interest rates. And when interest rates go up, the price of bonds go down. Because US government bonds have a fixed price, let's call it $100, and a fixed interest rate. And if that interest rate is 1%, and interest rates in the market go up to 2%, then the price of that bond in the secondary market will then fall from $100 to $50 to keep the yield in line with the market rates. So what Silvergate has experienced over the course of the last 12 months is that all of the money that it's placed into US government bonds has fallen in terms of the current market value. And because all of these customers are now demanding their money back, Silvergate have been forced to sell those bonds in the market to get the cash and therefore have crystallized huge losses. And the details of this situation are included in the quarterly posting. In order to accommodate sustained lower deposit levels and to maintain a highly liquid balance sheet, Silvergate sold $5.2 billion of debt securities for cash proceeds during quarter four of 2022. And this sale resulted in a loss on the sale of those securities of $751 million in the quarter. In addition to that loss, the company also recorded a $134.5 million impairment charge related to an estimated $1.7 billion of securities it expects to sell in the first quarter of 2023 to reduce its borrowings. Now, as a direct result of the financial difficulties, Silvergate decided to discontinue its Silvergate Exchange Network, which was the 24/7 payment system offered to all of its corporate customers. And as a direct result of that announcement, a variety of cryptocurrency businesses, including Coinbase and Galaxy Digital, have announced that they have dropped Silvergate as their banking partner. And as you saw right at the start of the video, Silvergate Capital has now released the following statement announcing its intention to wind down operations and voluntarily liquidate the bank in an orderly manner and in accordance with applicable regulatory processes. In light of recent industry and regulatory developments, Silvergate believes that an orderly wind down of bank operations and a voluntary liquidation of the bank is the best path forward. The bank's wind down and liquidation plan includes full repayment of all deposits. The company is also considering how best to resolve claims and preserve the residual value of its assets, including its proprietary technology and tax assets. So this is obviously catastrophic news for the investors in Silvergate Bank. And as we discussed earlier, at one point, this bank was valued at more than $4 billion. But it also represents seriously bad news for the crypto markets. Firstly, because all of the cryptocurrency businesses have now lost their banking relationship. These companies were previously using Silvergate to store all of their real world dollars. But secondly, there's also the issues of contagion and confidence. All financial markets have interconnectivity. So when a company fails, it will have a ripple effect. It will have a knock-on impact to other businesses. So the failure of Silvergate will cause problems for other companies. But over and above that, in the world of crypto particularly, confidence is a key issue. And when investors see things like Silvergate Bank going into liquidation, that causes concerns. People start to become worried that crypto is imploding, and that will lead to further withdrawals. One of the reasons that Silvergate failed was because a lot of investors wanted to take their money out of crypto. So they were asking their exchanges to give them back their dollars. Those exchanges then asked Silvergate to return all of its dollars, and that forced Silvergate to sell all of the bonds, which were sitting at a loss, and therefore resulted in Silvergate losing over $1 billion in Q4 2022. The failure of Silvergate is likely to accelerate more withdrawals and so could cause problems for other crypto businesses over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. As I'm sure you'll be aware, FTX was one of the largest cryptocurrency exchanges in the world and was established by its founder Sam Bankman-Fried along with his two co-founders Gary Wang and Nishad Singh. Now, towards the end of the glory days of FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried decided to step back from being chief executive and appointed his former girlfriend Caroline Ellison into the role. In January 2022, FTX completed another fundraising, which valued the business at $32 billion. It was the darling of the investors. Everybody loved FTX. But unfortunately for Sam, Gary, Nishad and Caroline, things went very wrong towards the end of 2022 and FTX filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy and Sam Bankman-Fried was arrested on a variety of fraud and criminal charges. Sam Bankman-Fried was arrested at his home in the Bahamas but was subsequently transferred to the USA where he pleaded not guilty to all charges and is now under house arrest at his parents' home awaiting the trial later in 2023. Caroline Ellison and Gary Wang both handed themselves into the authorities in December and pleaded guilty to all charges. Until now, the whereabouts of Nishad Singh were unknown. However, it's now been announced that he's been arrested and has pleaded guilty to US federal fraud and conspiracy charges. Singh, who is officially FTX's director of engineering, has pleaded guilty to 6 criminal counts, including wire fraud and conspiracy to defraud the US by violating campaign finance laws. He's also agreed to forfeit the proceeds of his actions, and bankruptcy filings show that he received a $543 million loan from Alameda Research, the cryptocurrency hedge fund that was also owned by Sam Bankman-Fried. Singh has admitted to making illegal donations to political candidates and PACs under his name using funds from Alameda Research. He claimed the donations were intended to bolster the political influence of FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried, and added that although he agreed with the political stances of those he donated to, he didn't pick the candidates himself. Now, before we go on to have a look at the details of some of the political donations that Singh made, I want to clear up a bit of jargon that I've just thrown at you, because if you follow the channel, you'll know that I hate jargon. I'm a jargon buster. I like to break things down into easy to understand language. And as I just mentioned, a lot of the donations that Singh was behind were given to PACs. And a PAC is a political action committee, which is an organization that pools campaign contributions from members and then donates those funds to campaigns for candidates. Now, this filing of public record shows that Nishad Singh made 43 different personal contributions to various campaigns. We just scroll down. You can see that there are a lot of different donations that he was behind. But if you run back up to the top, because that's where all of the biggest donations are made, you can see that he's made multiple donations of more than $1 million. So the top one here is to Future Forward USA for $1 million, followed by Mind the Gap for $1 million, Senate Majority PAC, $1 million, another $1 million to Protect Our Future PAC, another $1 million to Senate Majority PAC, $1.1 million to LGBTQ Victory Fund, $1.5 million to Women Vote, another $750,000 to Women Vote, $500,000 to Priorities USA Action, and $350,000 to Vote Tripling PAC. So lots of different donations, and the total amount of all of these donations is in excess of $9 million. Now, the reason that these donations are so important is that it's now alleged that they violate federal campaign finance laws, and as a direct result of Nishad Singh's testimony, Sam Bankman-Fried has now been hit with a variety of other charges. Sam Bankman-Fried is now facing up to 155 years in jail after new fraud charges have been raised against him.
Here's what the new indictment says about the political contributions and the scale of this effort. They're saying that Sam Bankman-Fried, the defendant, and his co-conspirators made over 300 political contributions totaling tens of millions of dollars that were unlawful because they were made in the name of a straw donor or paid for with corporate funds. So what the indictment is saying here is that there was a massive effort to influence the political system here in Washington by Sam Bankman-Fried In the indictment, they say that the defendant and his co-conspirators recorded outgoing wire transfers from Alameda, the hedge fund, to individuals' bank accounts for purposes of making contributions as just loans or expenses. Of course, that's against federal election rules. The suggestion here is that these were transactional payments to politicians to curry favor with those politicians, disguised as sort of woke pro-LGBT contributions and that sort of thing on the merits of the issue. But in reality, what they were looking for here was a transaction with that politician. So the government now alleging a serious effort here by Sam Bankman-Fried and his co-defendants to influence the political system with a lot of secret money. This is a serious ratcheting up of the scale of sort of legal jeopardy that Sam Bankman-Fried is facing.
Prosecutors claim that he stole billions of dollars from FTX customer deposits to support the operations and investments of FTX in Alameda, to fund speculative venture investments, make charitable donations, and spend tens of millions of dollars on illegal campaign donations to Democrats and Republicans in an attempt to buy influence over cryptocurrency regulation in Washington. The documents say that Bankman-Fried cast himself as a figurehead of a trustworthy and law-abiding segment of the cryptocurrency industry that sought to protect investors and clients. Meanwhile, he spent millions of dollars on celebrity advertisements during the 2022 Super Bowl that promoted FTX as the safest and easiest way to buy and sell crypto, and the most trusted way to buy and sell digital assets, the paper states. In reality, prosecutors wrote, Bankman-Fried routinely tapped FTX customer assets to provide interest-free capital for his and Alameda's private expenditures, and in the process exposed FTX customers to massive undisclosed risk. Now, interestingly, Sam Bankman-Fried is the only one of the senior management of FTX that has pleaded not guilty to all of his charges. Everybody else has put their hands up and said guilty as charged. And he's appeared twice in court over the last few weeks, after prosecutors expressed concern that he might be communicating online in ways they cannot trace. And they've said that his communications indicate that he might be trying to influence a witness with incriminating evidence against him. A judge is now deciding on whether or not to toughen up Bankman-Fried's bail requirements to prevent any improper communications. And it's now being suggested that Sam Bankman-Fried may have to be incarcerated prior to his trial if his communications cannot be monitored to ensure he's not tampering with witnesses. He's currently released on a $250 million personal reconnaissance bond, and the bail arrangement allows him to live with electronic monitoring at his parents' home in Palo Alto, California. So if we take a step back and look at the situation here, it's not looking good for Sam Bankman-Fried. All of his colleagues and co-founders at FTX have pleaded guilty to all of the charges, so that is now on record, and Sam Bankman-Fried has been hit with 12 additional charges. And the length of time that he's facing in jail is now up to above 150 years. Now, Sam Bankman-Fried continues to argue his innocence. However, it's not looking good, and it will be interesting to see whether or not he sticks with the not guilty plea or whether he decides to agree some form of bargain before this case goes to court. Now, one of the big issues in the world of cryptocurrency relates to proprietary coins. A lot of exchanges and crypto businesses have issued their own tokens, and these tokens often rise in value significantly. And this was one of the contributing factors for the downfall of FTX. FTX issued its own coin called FTT, and at the height of the market back at the end of 2021, the total market capitalization of all of the FTT coins in issuance was around $10 billion. Now, those coins still exist and are traded on a lot of exchanges, but the market cap today is somewhere in the region of $400 million. So that represents a fall in value of around 96%. And concerns are now rising around the proprietary coin that was issued by Binance, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange. Binance's proprietary coin is called BUSD, and this coin is what's known as a stablecoin. So the idea behind stablecoins is that they become a method of payment and that the value doesn't move around and isn't highly volatile like a lot of cryptocurrencies. And in order to maintain stability of the value of BUSD, it's been pegged against the US dollar. And Binance claims that it's holding $1 for every BUSD that's been issued. However, despite that claim, recent volatility in the crypto markets has spooked investors. And in February 2023, investors withdrew more than $6 billion from the BUSD token. These withdrawals prompted cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase to suspend trading in BUSD, citing that it no longer met our listing standards. Now, the chief executive of Binance is an outspoken individual, and he's actually downplayed the link between Binance and the BUSD coin, stating that BUSD is not actually issued by Binance, and that the company entered into an agreement with another company called Paxos to let them use the Binance brand. Now, Binance has recently come under pressure after a report showed that the business used customer deposits for its own undisclosed purposes. Binance reportedly transferred $1.8 billion in BUSD to hedge funds, which subsequently left its investors exposed, which to a certain extent mirrors some of the events that led to the downfall of FTX. Now, as with most things in the world of cryptocurrency, there is very little transparency, so it's difficult to know exactly what's going on at Binance. But this chart shows the market capitalization of the BUSD coin over the last 12 months. And you can see that in November 2022, the coin had a market cap of over $23 billion. However, over the course of the last 6 months, we have seen a material reduction. And today, the market cap is sitting at around $8.4 billion. Now, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, investors are now getting spooked, and over $6 billion was taken out of this coin in February. And it will be interesting to see what happens over the course of the next few months. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, obviously the big news in the world of cryptocurrency right now is the failure of Silvergate Bank. Over the past 10 years or so, Silvergate positioned itself as the bank for all of the big cryptocurrency players. Now, Silvergate was the darling of the stock market for a short period of time. It was the real world bridge between cryptocurrencies and US dollars, and it was seen as being a huge success story. And the share price going from $12 to $220, that is a once in a lifetime investment for most people. But unfortunately, in the world of cryptocurrency, quite often the old adage, what goes up must come down, tends to be true. And that's exactly what's happened to Silvergate. We've seen those shares crash. We've seen a run on that bank, which is equivalent to the runs that we saw in the Great Depression in the USA. More than 50% of the assets taken out of the bank in one quarter. And that was the quarter ending December 2022. We haven't seen the figures for the current quarter, but you have to believe that it's likely to have continued, because as soon as people get a whiff of these sort of things, if you hear that Silvergate might go bust and you have some assets with them, you want to take those assets out as soon as possible. That's generally the way most people think in the world of finance. So it's highly likely that Silvergate will have seen a continuation of the withdrawal of funds in the first quarter of 2023. And once you get a run of that nature in the world of cryptocurrency, it's very difficult to reverse that trend. Confidence is an essential and critical part of the world of cryptocurrency. And once that confidence starts to evaporate, it's very difficult for a business to be able to get it back. And what we've seen from Silvergate over the course of the last couple of months is that a lot of their customers wanted their deposits back so that they could hand money back to their customers. And that left the bank very exposed, because they'd been investing into government bonds and the value of those bonds had fallen. And Silvergate was forced to crystallize those losses because it needed to realize the cash. And that left them in a very exposed position, so much so that they've now announced that they are liquidating the bank. This is game over for Silvergate. So they won't be continuing any longer. And of course, that causes a problem for the world of cryptocurrency, because Silvergate has been holding all of these real world assets, all of the dollars that were sitting behind the crypto that's been issued. Now that Silvergate is no longer there, the crypto market will need to find a replacement, but there just simply aren't that many institutions who are lining up to take up this role, particularly when you look at the fact that Silvergate lost over $1 billion in the fourth quarter of 2022. That doesn't send a signal to any financial institution that this is a valuable and profitable part of the financial markets. And as I mentioned right at the start of the video, part of the reason why Silvergate has collapsed has been the ongoing contagion from the failure of FTX. And the failure of Silvergate is only going to make things worse, because it will have a knock-on impact. There will be businesses now struggling to be able to get sufficient dollars to be able to repay their clients. And so the contagion is likely to continue spreading, continue getting worse. And it will be very interesting to see what happens over the course of the next 3 to 6 months in the world of crypto. Nishad Singh was the last remaining senior management from FTX that hadn't really been tracked down. He's now pleaded guilty to all of the charges and actually provided the authorities with more information as to what was going on with regards to those political donations. And as a result of that, Sam Bankman-Fried has now been hit with 12 additional charges that could add another 40 years onto his prison sentence. And from Sam Bankman-Fried's point of view, things could not be worse. His three former colleagues have all pleaded guilty and they have all provided evidence which is now being used in the case against him. But for whatever reason, he continues to plead not guilty. He's saying that he's done nothing wrong and he is going to court to fight his case. Now, it's interesting that the authorities are currently claiming that Sam Bankman-Fried may be using secret forms of communication to try to intimidate witnesses and get them to change their positions. And there's a possibility that he may become incarcerated at some point over the next few weeks if they decide that that is a genuine risk and that it would jeopardize this case. But as it sits right now, there doesn't seem to be a lot of evidence in Sam Bankman-Fried's favour to get him off these charges. Everybody else is guilty. He's saying he's not guilty. It was his company. He founded it. He created all of the methodology. He owned Alameda Research, which is the hedge fund that benefited from a lot of the cash that was moved out of customer deposits from FTX. So things are really not looking good from Sam Bankman-Fried's perspective. And FTX was previously the second largest cryptocurrency exchange in the world. And the largest exchange, Binance, is now coming under pressure. Binance has issued its own stablecoin, even though the chief executive is saying that he isn't actually behind it. He's outsourced it to somebody else. And that stablecoin is now seeing a run on those assets. $6 billion withdrawn in February. It will be interesting to see what happens in March, whether this becomes a trend, whether we see investors getting spooked and deciding that they're no longer comfortable with the Binance risk. There are question marks over Binance. It's a very secretive organization. It has offices all around the world, which has been purportedly set up to try to avoid regulation and investigation. And it will be interesting to see what happens to that business over the course of the next few months. If there are genuine problems at Binance and it goes down the same road as FTX, that could have catastrophic implications for the cryptocurrency markets. So hopefully you've enjoyed this update on the cryptocurrency markets. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. And thank you very much for watching this video all the way through to the end.